103.2 Dublin City FM. This is Mental Wealth with Brian Green. Good afternoon. If you want to get in touch with the programme, if you've got any ideas for future programmes, email us mentalwealth@dublincityfm.ie. On today's programme, I'm talking about transgender issues, gender dysphoria and transphobia. I'm talking with Dublin City FM's well-known anchor and presenter, Mick Fitzgerald. Hi, Mick.
Good afternoon, Brian. Thank you for inviting me.
You're presenter of the Council Matters programme, is it?
I also present LGBTQ Life, which generally features transgender issues at least every couple of months. So because I've got a lot of affinity for the transgender community and I have a lot of associates in the transgender community. So they generally get to their issues get raised because I have a lot of affinity to, as I say, assist in that area. Yeah, and one of the aspects we have found is that visibility and talking about trans issues are often one of the best ways to approach it.
Mm-hmm. And radio is a good place for that. I have had this topic on before, but probably not at a time in our country that we find ourselves now, because and I probably need some educating around the terms and information in this area, but there has been broadcasts on the national broadcaster which have brought this topic screaming to the front. Now, from my time working in mental health in the digital media space, I've kind of heard a lot of things about gender dysphoria and the rise in the number of people presenting with those issues. And I think this is at the nub of the objectors to gender dysphoria, which might be come across as transphobic, is that where have all these people suddenly come from? Now, my understanding is that information, the internet is out there and people are able to ask questions, and it's a plausible answer. That's what I've heard. Would you agree?
Well, if I could step back to a certain degree, Brian, I got first came involved with the issue probably about 2010. And if you remember, there was a movie called Albert Nobbs. It was actually made in Dublin. It was, I think it was actually written by an Irish writer. And I thought that was a fascinating movie because it was set in the 19th century, but it was how a trans man had who was born a woman but had to present as a male. And the character was played by Glenn Close. And I found it a fascinating subject. And I did a couple of interviews on the topic. And that was how I came in touch with, in contact with TANI, which is the Transgender Equality Network of Ireland. And later on, I got involved with them after I left Near FM. And that would have been about 2011, 2012. Now, at that stage, there was a gender recognition review set up. It was set up by Eamon O'Queeve. And the idea was that Ireland was the last country in Europe to bring in gender. We were denying the human rights under the European Convention of Human Rights to our transgender community. So we were obliged to bring in some form of legislation. Now, the original panel that Eamon O'Queeve set up, it was, and the terms of reference it had, it was real administrative. It was it was basically made up of civil servants. There was no transgender people on it. And back in those days, transgender was considered a mental health issue. They called it one of the terms that they used was gender dysphoria. Now, ultimately, there was a campaign waged, largely driven by TANI, and it was backed. It was backed by people like Catherine Zappone, and to give credit, it was backed by people like Angus O'Snodig. And eventually, in 2015, a law was brought in by Kevin Humphreys of the Labour, who was the Labour Party minister at the time. Now, although the original campaign was, the original project was under the guise of Joan Burton. And Joanna Tuffy. Eventually, the issue was resolved by Kevin Humphreys. And to give Kevin, and I've always said Kevin deserves a lot of credit on this one, because we got some of the best transgender legislation in the world. And the reason why we got that is because we got self-declaration. I mean, if you what Eamon O'Queeve was hoping to bring in was that you had to go before panels of psychiatrists, and it was a very, very what I would call medical profession oriented, and they, you know, essentially you were considered, it was considered an illness. At the time, we were trying to bring the best legislation for transgender in the world was in Argentina. And we were trying to emulate the Argentine legislation, and we came very, very close to it. Certain areas that they left out, I won't get too technical about it, but they left out intersex, they left out non-binary, and they left out under 18. But essentially, the legislation that was brought in this country is that you and I can decide in the morning that we are transgender. And you can then apply for a gender recognition certificate, in which case then instead of being a male you can have yourself legally recognized in what people call their true gender.
Change my passport?
This was the whole point. The original campaign, and it started 21 years earlier, was Lydia Foy, who is a dentist in the Midlands, I think in Athlone, and Lydia asked to get her what we would call foundation documents changed. Lydia wanted to have her birth cert changed. So her birth cert had it defined as a male and she wanted it defined as a female. So the foundation documents, you know, are things like passports, driving licenses, any government documents essentially that classify your gender. So once you've got a gender recognition certificate, you can then go and get all those foundation documents changed. So it was a major step forward. It wasn't entirely what people were in the transgender community were looking for, but it was 90%. So it was very, very welcomed when it came in. Now, something that wasn't appreciated very widely at the time, and I've often said to people, I wonder how much influence it had, because at the time, in 2015, it was about 2 months after the marriage equality referendum. There was a lot of euphoria in the area at the time, but we knew the gender recognition legislation was coming in, but what Joanna Tuffy was proposing was something that people were not happy with at all. And that's no disrespect to Joanna Tuffy. I think most of it was coming from Joan Burton at the time. But something happened about 2 weeks beforehand, and I think that changed public perception. And that incident was Bruce Jenner became Caitlyn Jenner and was on the cover of
Vanity Fair.
And I think that was the first time we saw trans with a major character mainstream. And that changed, I think that changed public perception in an enormous way. And then Kevin Humphreys said, look, you know, there's what the committee are recommending, and this is what he brought in. So to give Kevin his due, I thought he grasped the issue fairly well and then brought in legislation accordingly. Now, I've always said that before that, there were two private members' bills. One was by Catherine Zappone, and the other one was brought in by Sinn Féin under Angus O'Snodding. And I always thought Angus never quite got the recognition he deserved, because a lot of what eventually came in was in the bill that what Angus was proposing. And what Angus was proposing was based on the Argentine legislation. So, and I know all of that because I lobbied Angus at the time. So that's the situation that happened. Now,
we're now getting to the question. So you interview politicians a lot, so you're skilled in, you know, putting down the information before we get to the question I originally asked. So is it on the rise, transphobia, that is?
Okay, well, what is transphobia? I tend to prefer to call it trans ignorance rather than transphobia, because or hatred of trans, because most of the time people just don't understand. I mean, for instance, they had a programme on RTE recently, and it was very, very unpopular with the trans gender community, because they had Graham Lenehan in it on the programme. Now,
not because he was there, but because of his views he holds.
Yeah, because of the views he was holding, and more to the point, the views he was promulgating. And we also should remind him that Graham Lenehan also got a police caution about harassing people on social media who were transgender. Now, to put it in perspective, what most people don't understand really what trans is. Trans is a lot of things in that sense of the word. Like on a very basic level, you've got people who are transvestites. Now, we all understand transvestites, Danny LaRue and, you know, and people in pantomimes and all of that. It's essentially, it's almost invariably males who dress up in women's clothes. Now, in this day and age, what is women's clothes? What's men's clothes? But that was traditionally how we understood.
And would I be right in thinking that that's, in Ireland, that was very much tolerated, it was okay.
Oh, nobody ever cared about it, you know, because we produced Danny LaRue, you know, and in fact, I've always said, if you ever run out of money, back, you know, this is going back 20 years, I said, if you ever run out of money, and you know, and you're stuck for a few bob, just dress up in women's clothes, because people will come from miles around to see men in women's clothes. I've never understood why, but there's a fascination with seeing men in women's clothes. And then we had people coming out as transgender. Now, when I was first got involved with telly, there weren't a lot of people. Maybe you were talking about 30 to 50 people in the entire country. And generally speaking, they were older. You know, there weren't that many young people involved. And I suspect a lot of that was because of the profile. I mean, it's a very isolated community. I mean, it was a community that stuck together, supported each other, and didn't really put its head above the parapet. Now, Lydia Foy, who was considered the great pioneer, and her the person who championed her case, I don't know if you recall Michael Farrell, who was he was involved with the People's Democracy when the trouble started, and then he was on the Human Rights Commission, and he was with the Legal Aid centres. Now, Michael, I have always said, was probably the person who deserved far more recognition than he ever got, because he was there for 20-odd years backing Lydia Foy. And I remember when I got involved with Tenney, and I mainly got involved, they wanted people to get media coverage and raise the profile in that sense of the word. And trans was considered a freak show by the media. And I always found that, and to give you a good example, there was a person at the time who was the chair of Transgender Equality Network, a fabulous person in Trinity College. I won't mention any names because it's a very private person. And the Sun newspaper wanted an interview with this person. And the person said, you know, look, I'm a private person. My work is my work. Trans is just another aspect of me. And thank you very much, but I don't want to do an interview. So what they did was, when this person, they sent down a photographer to Trinity with a long range lens. And when this person came out with a cigarette, they took photographs. And then they had all the usual ones of cock and bull story, you know, all those really bad cliches. So when they came back to do a story for the 2012 Pride, we told them to sod off. And then they really were saying, oh, we really want a story. So at the end of the day, the compromise that was negotiated was, you can have an article, but we'll write it. And to a certain degree, that's how LGBT life, or what used to be called Trans Tuesday, started on Dublin City FM. Because I said to the group, if you want to get your own stories in the media, from your perspective, you set up your own media.
So the old Jello Biafra kind of quote, don't hate the media, become the media.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And as a result of that, the media slowly came on board and slowly started to become more empathetic as well. Not necessarily more understanding, but a bit more empathetic. But to give you a couple of examples, for instance, there was a young man who very sadly committed suicide. But there was a young man who was the first trans man, and a trans man is somebody who was born as a female, but then transitioned to a male, became the first trans man into Alternative Miss Ireland, Alternative Mr. Ireland, which was a big deal. And they asked me, would I see if I could get some coverage in the media? And I went to a particular TV station and I said, we've got this story, are you interested? Ah, no, we've done all those stories. Can you get us a husband and a wife? Because by that stage, they went, you know, they always still wanted to sensationalise it. So we had trouble getting that story in. But another one, immediately after the transgender legislation was passed. Now, one of the real problems with the original legislation that was being proposed by Joanna Tuffy is, because we didn't have marriage equality in at the time, that if you were a trans male, a trans woman who was married, they were bringing, they had a condition that you had to divorce your wife before you would get a gender recognition certificate. So when the gender, when the marriage equality was passed, the reason why I was really delighted about that was because my friends who were trans were not going to have to get divorced. And I, about 2 weeks after the gender recognition legislation was passed, I went out and I interviewed a couple who I know very well. I was delighted for them particularly because they had always been very public as a couple. And we were talking away, and the interview was up on YouTube. And they were telling me that they went out to, again, the same TV network, which I won't mention, TV3.
Doesn't exist, go on.
Exactly. And they were out there, and the first question they asked the wife was, are you now a lesbian? And I thought, oh, Lord, you know, we do have still some work to do.
This is a fascinating interview because I'm asking questions and you're coming back with answers that are completely nothing to do with the question, but really, really interesting. Yeah. I have, in the last couple of days, been transcoding old recordings from 1984 of radio stations in Waterford and Cork, ERI and ABC Radio, and on it is a Sunday World ad, and it is out of this world homophobic. Yeah. It's sensationalising the gay pride in San Francisco and putting it on the airwaves of Ireland to sell its newspapers on a Sunday. My question is Ireland in 2019 a bit like Ireland in 1984 when you compare homophobia and I use the word transphobia, but you say trans ignorance?
Yep. Well, Ireland is actually quite good in the sense that, to give you an example, last year at the start of London Pride, there was a disgraceful episode where this group of women, which are called TERFs, which is trans exclusionary radical feminists, and they came to the start of the Pride parade, which they weren't entitled to do, and their view is that trans undermines feminism, that women are women because of their genitalia, and that women who are, if you like, who began life as male are not women, you know, that they never will be women. Now, they are, if you like, the extreme. They're quite prominent in the US. They're quite prominent in the UK, but they have not got a foothold in Ireland, which is, I think, is a great tribute to ourselves. Now, the most recent example we had was Martina Navratilova. She was talking about trans women playing tennis. For argument's sake, when the legislation was going through about transgender of gender recognition, Joanna Tuffy was proposing that golf clubs could exclude trans women. You know, again, I found all of that ignorant. That somehow or other we were instead of the state taking charge, we were allowing completely other bodies. But generally speaking, and to be fair to Ireland, we don't have that same level of venom. That's why Graham Lenehan was unusual. Now, he doesn't live here, but generally speaking, there's a certain level of acceptance here. It doesn't necessarily mean people understand, but we seem to be a bit more tolerant here than we see even in the UK. And I think that's a tribute to Irish character in that sense of the word. We might not always understand what's going on, but we're prepared to trust the person. Because one of the ignorances that, for instance, you hear certain things that come out is that all trans is about surgery. No, it's not. In a lot of cases, people would like it to be, but not a lot. I mean, for instance, when I first came across trans in the early 80s in Australia, and quite a lot of people I knew then, they were taking hormones and so on and so forth, which changes your upper body shape, but they didn't have surgery because surgery wasn't all that common. And as a result of that, a lot of people would have been, you know, their physical appearance would have been not necessarily what people's imagination is. And as a result of that, a lot of ignorance springs up. You know, one of the things that we used to say to people in the early days in Tenny is that take your head out of people's genitalia. It's not, trans is a total package. It's not about people's genitalia. But yet, for some bizarre reason or other, you're more likely to get homophobia or transphobia when people start thinking in those terms.
Just to focus in on the RTE thing, so I look at RTE and I see Telly Bingo and
Shirley Temple Bar
and the presenter in the past, dressed as a woman and presenting on the television. And it's if you're not from Ireland, it is a thing as normal as anything, absolutely. But then Primetime decide to up the stakes and heavily promote a contentious trans situation that they're going to broadcast, and they bring in Graeme Linehan, and he has these opinions which, you know, are shocking to some people because it's so stark. Did they get it wrong?
I think they look for an audience. They look for sensation. One of the things, and I said it to you at the beginning, when the legislation was brought in, they excluded certain categories of people like non-binary, which are people who are male and female genes, and intersex. Because what people don't understand is that you and I, we didn't pick our gender. That was picked for you at birth. I would say 95-99% of cases, there's no real issue about that. But if I could be a bit graphic here, when I went, some of the conferences I went to, and they went and they told you in specific detail how people were selected. You know, so if there was a doubt as to how you were defined as either male or female at birth, it was all down to a measurement of the penis, or what was seen to be as the penis. So some people were, you know, I think it was if it was above 2-point-something millimetres, you were classified as male, and if you were below that, you were classified as female. So that's how intersex people come along. And as a result of that, the idea that somehow or other, you know, you get this all the time, people saying, well, you're born either male or female. You're not. That is decided for you. So we've seen cases where people were raised as a male and in later life they really felt more as a female and vice versa. And some of those cases are very interesting as to how people responded. But the idea that somehow, that we're born this and that's the end of it and that nature doesn't make mistakes, that's not true. That's simply not true. And that's where I think a lot of the ignorance and the fear comes from.
You mentioned the Vanity Fair cover, and it was 2 weeks before the vote on legislation, and it was significant. Do you think that, and I'm asking this from a media perspective, that, you know, normalisation through soap operas and television and appearances on the Late Late Show couch and things like that, are there positive things that broadcasters can be doing that will, you know, help people be less ignorant?
I think so. I mean, for instance, if you take it that when you and I grew up, Brian, let's be perfectly honest, travellers weren't held in the highest of esteem. Whenever you saw...
Has it changed much?
Well, travellers have... To a certain degree, it has. You know, we have... travellers now make movies. You know, we see travellers, you know, we see, in other words, we see travellers and coloured people or whatever in a much
different context. I do get your point.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing is that until you start seeing the context changing, people's perception doesn't change to that degree. Now, one of the ironies I've always found with that, with the Caitlyn Jenner case, wasn't typical because Caitlyn Jenner was rich. Caitlyn Jenner could afford the best of surgery, a whole range of things. The irony is that Caitlyn Jenner was a big fan of Donald Trump. And then Donald Trump turns around and says, well, we're not going to let trans people serve in the military. You know, so again, it's a, you know, it's... It doesn't... It can have a backlash in that sense of the word. But I think there were no role models in the first place, and there were no positive role models in this country because we didn't. It wasn't getting that coverage. But along the way, and particularly in the last, say, 5 or 6 years, there's been some really important people have come forward, and I think that's why Transworld is a lot more of a safe place in Ireland.
To go back to my first question, then, people, it has been suggested, are presenting more with these issues because they can research things at younger ages from their phones and their tablets in their bedrooms. And I don't disagree with that point. My question to you is, where should they be looking online if they have such questions? Are there places that have the best rounded out answers?
Well, when people come to me, and I've had a case in the last 3 months of somebody said, well, my boyfriend's brother thinks he's trans, I always say the same thing. I say, there are organisations that are out there, and if you're young, go to Belong To, an excellent organisation who look at who previously used to help young gay and lesbian people. Now they help trans as well. But the primary organisation, I always say to people, is go to TENI, Transgender Equality Network. They're down there on the quays, I think it's. But they're TENI.ie. They are the best place to go for advice, because not everybody who decides they're trans ends up transitioning. But they were in the vanguard of the transgender campaign, and I still say to anybody, go to them. They are the best, and they will they will help you along the way. You know, if you're confused, you'll go away with clearer answers. If you genuinely believe you are trans, they will tell you where to get help. So I always say that should be your first port of call.
Mm-hmm. And just maybe finally, your single most important tip to people who are exploring this issue, what should they be saying to themselves?
Well, one of the, if I could be honest, and it's a bit of a digression here, Brian, is that one of the shortcomings is that you can get very, very good social advice here. You can even decide, I'm going to get a gender certificate, I'm also then going to transition. One of the problems is that we brought in good legislation, which is also now being reviewed by Regina Doherty. But we don't have the services to back it up. So in other words, if you still want to do a surgical transition, chances are you are going to have to go elsewhere, outside the country. We don't have doctors to do it. Even if you just want to get on a hormone program, the waiting lists are like quite a lot of other things. So I always say to people, be certain. Don't necessarily, you know, people, as they said to me, don't necessarily go out there to tell your parents first. But go and talk to people who have been through this experience, and they would be the best ones to talk. It's not like you get for political parties, or you must join the socialists, you must join this or that or the other. But the first thing is to be clear in your own mind, because it is a major step. Yeah.
Give us a plug for your show again.
LGBTQ Live, Mondays at 1 o'clock on Dublin City FM.
Mick Fitzgerald is who I've been talking to. Thank you very much. This is Being Mental Wealth for another Tuesday afternoon. If you want to get in touch, it's the email address is mentalwealth@dublincityfm.ie. We're back next Tuesday at the same time. Until then, have a great week. Take care, stay safe, and goodbye.